Let's go, boys. Let's go. Ours to win now. Doors open. Let's go.
Ever heard this stadium this quiet? Lance Harbor laying there on the field, and you see his future going down the drain, committed to Florida State. And now, what must this do to the Coyotes' football plans?
Oh, a somber start to the Malcolm Go podcast on September the 28th, 2022. That was Lance Harbor and his ride to Florida State. All up in smoke due to Billy Bob's concussion and eerily similar to what we saw here Sunday. Mac Jones' ride to the Super Bowl possibly thwarted on a last violent strike by Calais Campbell.
I mean, would we call that a cheap shot?
I'm calling it a cheap shot. You can't land full body on top of Mac. The man's a quarterback. We have to protect him at all costs.
You jumped up in the air, too?
I didn't watch it that close. I was too busy being upset at the interception that was thrown.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I didn't even know he was hurt until I saw him jumping up and down.
He was hopping off the field, and then the video is up close. We could talk about it for a minute. And the screaming in pain where, I mean, let's face it, a little bit much, if we're going to be honest here, as a trio.
Especially for a guy that's going to play this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're going to be the quarterback of my New England Patriots, I can't have you screaming walking down those stairs. Not like that. I got cell phone video up close and personal over the stairs, and you can hear him howling.
Getting carried?
Carried.
Like a gunshot.
I get it.
Wound.
I'm a three.
Hey, after he threw that pick in the corner, which would have pretty much given him the lead, the one to Parker.
Yeah.
My dad was screaming, "I'm glad. This is what he deserves." He's like, he's not hurt. He's faking it. I was like, I don't think he's faking it.
No, he definitely didn't.
He's fucking faking it.
As a three-time high ankle sprain survivor, I know what it feels like, and it hurts. But I, in a Saugus Town team basketball match, continued to play through. I played through and cherry picked at the three-point line and try to be a hero, play hero ball, and just fire threes. It's painful, and you can't run. It hurts a lot, but you're certainly not screaming like that. I mean, Tom Brady tear every ligament in his knee, walk off the field and down those stairs.
I think a ligament. I think an ankle is worse than a knee. Everyone seems to hurt their knee, and they're like, "Oh, it looks like he's fine. He just, you know."
Can't move.
But ankles and Achilles, they just seem like, I don't know.
Well, the Achilles, literally you can't move. You can't possibly walk on a torn Achilles because your foot just doesn't work. An ankle hurts, but if you break your ankle and your foot no longer works the way it's supposed to work, got it. But your sprained ankle hurts like a bitch, but you could walk on it if you had to do it.
You also shouldn't be screaming if you're not putting any pressure on it. Like, at that point, it's like, get it together.
Just get it together here, fellas. I mean, you're the quarterback of my New England Patriots. I can't have it. You can't be meme face. You can't just become a meme right here at home. If you're going to become a meme, do it on the road at least. Or while winning a game. I can't have it.
Especially in a game where Mobile Mac was just making plays.
Mobile Mac was all over the place. He was dialed in. He was slinging muffins, too. He was slinging his Mac muffins, lobbing them up in the air, dropping them in dimes into Parker.
I will say some of them were elite, and then but then the interceptions, you're just like, you're so erect, and then it's like immediate flaccid because they're ridiculous.
They're letting him get lit. They're letting him get way too much. I don't know. They're letting him do way too much thinking, I think. This is very reminiscent of, and I'm not gonna say he's the arm talent, but Peyton didn't really have a bullet arm. He's not like Justin Herbert or fucking Mahomes. But Peyton Manning would throw muffins, and he would get them right on the money like Mac does. And then he would just throw crazy interceptions as a rookie. So it's not dissimilar to that. It's just that people now have way less of a tolerance for waiting. And especially when you're following a legend.
100%, because if you want to compare him to like a Justin Herbert, like, you would say Herbert has better weapons at every position if you were to listen to everyone
and
in the
more
end.
Talent.
And yeah, and didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, he's got like 20 more losses. It's not. I mean, look, people are saying like, okay, he's obviously not the guy. Or in now's terms, he's not him. He's not the guy. We don't know that yet. Do you know how many games Tom Brady won by the time he was Mac Jones? A grand total of one. By the time he was the same age as Mac Jones, Tom Brady has won one game. That's it. He sat for a whole year behind Bledsoe. He was going to sit again for another whole year, and then Bledsoe got hurt. So let's not pretend like things don't change and people don't get better.
Are we about to have a Bailey Zappi jump in for a Mac Jones situation? We're going to have our new TB12?
No. I don't think Bailey Zappi is going to get anywhere near the field. I think he's going. Yeah. I think Jacoby Myers is the backup quarterback at this point.
I'm also confused. Everybody's just like, Brian Hoyer knows the offense well, he shouldn't, because this is a new offense. He should know none of it. He should know less than Mac Jones.
This is literally, they said that all summer. New streamlined offense. It's the same offense again. They just went back to the drawing board. Like, right, we're just going to go ahead and go and do what we did the last 21 years and just continue with that, because you guys suck at this. We can't coach it. And you
I
know
also,
what?
I like that they stopped having Devontae Parker just run straight. I like that he can run sideways too.
Yeah, that was a good move. That was a good moment. They were using play action. I begged them to run play action. They fucking were dialed in to Devontae Parker on play action. Mac was dropping Mac muffins, lobbing rainbows, Ephus pitches down the field right into his gut. Fucking Devontae's being this is that was what they wanted from N'Keal Harry. And Devontae Parker did it all in one game. One game he gave you what N'Keal Harry should have been in 4 years. 150 yards, like three contested catches, a back shoulder catch. The guy was
back shoulders was nice.
Mac put that on a dime. Listen.
Oh, the one down the left sideline to get to the 1 yard line. I felt things. Yeah, that was the one.
And then they run it in. I mean, it was just the perfect Patriot
catch
offense.
Over the right shoulder.
They had a couple perfect Patriot offense drives. I don't think they had 1-3 and out. They ran the ball well. Mac was slinging. He was dialed in, still not utilizing the tight ends, and then they killed themselves. Mac made stupid decisions, and he's still
and Nelson
young.
Nelson Aguilar should be put in the gulag.
Yeah, Nelson Aguilar, I mean, the fumble killed him. But before that, the fucking interception in the end zone killed them.
So that pick, that on that first down, they ran that, like, they motioned Jonnu back. And then he went around the running back and, like, came in behind the quarterback and then went out. And then they threw, like, a pass that went for, like, -2 yards. That was a nightmare of a play.
I'm going to be honest, buddy. I was in the cups. Your boy was in the cups. And I got home. I drove home, I should say. So I got there. It was game one. So your boy's fired up all the way. So the day before is my wife's birthday, and I spent most of the day, you know, loading the car, getting ready for the game. Took a lot of heat for that. Deserved heat. I was in the wrong there. I shouldn't have been prepping for game day number one on my wife's birthday. I own that. It's bad husbanding. Bad husband 101. But I was just too excited. I was like the kid before school that lays out his uniform. You know what I mean? That was me. I had my jersey laid out, my hat. I was just ready to go. 8:30, we're down at the stadium. You know, we got in the lot about 9:30, a little bit after it opened. Got everything set up. The boys were just in it hard. I brought my binoculars, and you knew it was bad because I was looking through the binoculars, and I had to go one eye. You know, you had to go with the old one eye. I'm like, oh boy, this is not good. I had to stop using the binoculars. So I was like, I'm going to throw up all over section 204. So when I got home, I noticed, I said he had 3 interceptions. What? I said, I remembered 2. I knew the last play of the game was an interception, and obviously I remember the one in the end zone. I do not remember the first one. You could pay me $1 million right now.
Can we get stadium vibes after the one in the end zone? Because that one, I was sitting in the airport watching it and thought I was going to get banned from Atlanta's airport.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know how many minutes. No, maybe that was Aguilar. But I was in a bad place because, you know, that happened. I got mad. But there was a lot of time left. So they stopped them, got the ball back, and they're driving.
They forced the fumble.
They forced the fumble. And it got electric again. So they forced the fumble, ripped it from Bateman.
The kid was yelling
John
ball.
Jones.
I was screaming ball in the airport.
You have to let the boys know the ball is on the ground.
Have my AirPods in, screamed ball, and looked around and said, oh, shit, I'm not the only one here.
That's okay. Everyone understands that you're part of the team. You have to let them know ball. And then who picked it up? I don't remember. Was it Peppers?
Peppers
picked it up, runs it back. Peppers is a stud, by the way. Love him. And then, you know, I'm looking. I think it might have been 3rd down. I'm like, you got to hit. I could see it. Clearly, I was like, you got to hit the crosser here. Aguilar's going to be wide open on the crosser. Hits him. Perfect bread basketball, and he's gone. And the fucking Marlon Humphrey just punched it out. I see the ball go. I was like, you motherfucker. And I just screamed, and I started kicking the concrete. And this family, they all look the exact same. I'm talking the mom, the son, and the dad. All look same face. They might be sisters and brother inbred, but the son has grown, like literally probably 35. And I've had it out with them before, the whole family. They're the worst. They wear like custom jerseys for their whole family. And they bought these seats. These are like brand new seats that they invented in Gillette Stadium. They weren't there before. So if you're going up the stairs in section 204, in like I think it's 203, right, next to it, and they come to the top of where the stairway opens. And then there used to be like a little ramp, you know, where the two sections connect and just become one row till you walk up. You know what I'm saying? So like two become one, right?
I get it.
Yeah.
At the top of that, they just added a random 4 seats like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And these people got those seats. And I'm like,
so you have to go, you can't just like walk past anymore. You have to go down the stairs to go around.
You can walk around them, but you have much less room than like before when you can just walk.
It's an eye contact situation, no matter what. Your eye contact.
Yeah, they're right at the back of the concrete. So they're like over the top of the stairs down. You know what I mean? Their arms are on top of the concrete. If they look down, they're looking at the stairs down. And these seats just were made out of nowhere. So anyway, I've been in wars with them before just because they always do chants. Every time there's a first down, it's another Patriots first down, right? That's how the fucking guy over the loudspeaker does it. And then at the end, he goes,
first down.
And you go, you've been there before. You probably don't remember this, but every time they go, oh, yeah, like the Matt Slater, Teddy Bruschi thing
at the
end of every single fucking first down call. It's the mom, the dad, the son.
In the son?
Yeah, and some other person. I don't
need to be sitting in 204 and
witness it. But to be fair, they don't do a lot of that anymore because it's only like when there's a lot of peak action. They don't do another Patriots first down a ton anymore. But, you know, when Brady was playing, it was constant.
Slow?
What's that?
Sounds slow?
I know what you just said.
Are they
slow. No.
They're missing a chromosome.
They're inbred. I told you that. So anyway, Aguilar fumbled. And these guys, like the superfan family, walks right by me. And I had it. I said, there's 10 minutes left in the game. 10 minutes left in the game. Vince and Frankie are grabbing at my shoulders. Like, why are you yelling at the family? I was like, it's 10 minutes left in the game. They quit on the team. Superfan family. Superfans quit on the team. And I'm screaming at 204. 204 was so mad at me that day. I had it with the family. You can't have your own chant and your custom jerseys and leave early. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to endure the pain.
I don't want to get into it really because I'm on your side, but.
No. I don't.
Didn't they kneel the ball out after the Aguilar fumble?
No. They did not. Maybe. I don't remember. No, there was time left. There was like 5 minutes left. They needed to get. Because they got the ball back.
Yeah,
because
Lamar scored.
Yeah, they scored. We got the ball back, and he threw an interception.
And he hurt his – he got his –
That's when he got hurt. So there was plenty of time to win the game.
4 minutes left, yeah.
I think it was 5:42 if memory goes back in my head. So I was very lit. I was in a bad place. And I stayed to endure the pain. You know how many times I stayed in that stadium when my brother walked out and I watched Tom Brady make miracle comebacks? More than I can count.
Yeah.
Double-digit times. My brother was in the parking lot, and I've got to go out there and tell him what happened. Double digits. And I'm just waiting for the Mac magic to start happening. I'll tell you what. I love Mobile Mac. I love Mobile Mac. I love a Mac muffin that can float through the air into Devontae Parker's arms. Don't love the interceptions.
I don't like when he throws them because it looks like his brain just shorted. It's just like they're all bad. Every single one of them are just bad interceptions.
I think they'll come with time. I think that he's going to learn more.
I agree.
And things are just fucking up.
When you're like at the stage Mac is, like you are right now, Mac shouldn't be sliding. He's not good enough to slide. He needs to be running like he's a running back to get first downs. Until you start winning games on your own, then you can start sliding. But as of now, like if Hoyer comes in and slides this week, like we're gonna be pissed. You don't slide when you stink,
Tyler.
Give your body up for the team is what we're saying.
Yeah, but these two guys are built like you, like us three. So if they got hit, imagine getting hit by Calais Campbell.
Brian Hoyer is a 37-year-old bald man that looks like an accountant. He's literally exactly me. He's exactly me that's somehow a quarterback in the NFL. We look exactly the same, same build, same body. He probably has a slightly better arm than me and a lot more money, but we're not different physically. And watching him try to execute football plays is going to be something to behold.
On that note, the mustache.
Fire.
It works.
I thought so. I tweeted about it today. I said, I grew a pretty substantial mustache. I'm keeping a very short beard around it so that like there's a little – so I can't go full in yet. I'm nervous about it. Going full mustache is – that's a decision. That's a decision you have to make. Like KP's doing it.
I think Bears weekend is the weekend. I'll be there and it's just time.
Yeah, you're in the South. I feel like mustaches are more okay in the South. When you've got just a mustache in the North, everyone's like, who's this fucking creep? So I don't know if I'm pulling off – fighter pilot vibes or pedophile vibes. And the fact that I have any, like, you know, non-commitment to it makes me think the latter. You know what I mean? I don't feel like I have enough fighter pilot confidence to pull off a mustache. But I do wear aviators primarily with this.
The bald head helps a lot.
It does.
If you have a bald head, it changes everything.
And I give it a little bit of the what do you call this machine? Soul patch. Yeah, soul a little patch. Bit of the soul patch goes with it. So it's kind of like, you know, it's a half breed. We're mixing it up here.
If the family showed up in whatever 2 weeks at home, walking up the stairs, and they just see you, Frankie, and Vince all with mustaches,
yeah. They'd be intimidated as hell. There's no way that they like coming to games. Because me and my brother and Vince are atrocious to them. And we should be, because they're terrible fans. And I hope they listen to the podcast, which I'm sure they're not. They're chanting and slapping their chest, and they're laying out their jerseys, trying to come up with new family. They're like trying to be JETS, like Fireman Ed fans.
I'm out on that.
You know what I mean?
But
as a family.
I hate that you say they're not listening. Everybody listens to this podcast.
That's true. We have thousands and thousands of listeners.
Are you more mad at Patriots fans or the opposing team?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, it used to be opposing team. Now it's more Patriots fans. But, I mean, it's just more because they've been losing so much more. I mean, it used to be impossible to lose at Gillette Stadium for 20 years. It was like maybe once a year. So you were just dominating and laughing at opponents. And now the Patriots kind of suck and kind of look like shit and do stupid stuff all the time, like fumble and throw dumb interceptions.
Because now the East is really, really good, so it makes me really upset.
Yeah, so it used to be like you could bully anyone, and a lot of Ravens fans show up, a lot of Bills fans show up, a lot of Steelers fans will show up. Cowboys fans, like fucking were a lot of them last year.
That the Bills game actually is on a Thursday night.
Yeah, I won't be at that.
I know. I tried my best.
I'm not going to any Thursday night games. If they moved it into my living room, that's the only time I would ever go to a Thursday night game again.
Wait, I don't know if I should sit in the 204 because I'm far too Southern, and if I start yelling at people, they won't understand me.
That's fine. Just as look, I don't care. If you sit in the 204, I will have your back. Vince loves to yell in the 204. Vince has a whole different aggressive style, which I told about the Cowboys game. He'll go and like sit behind you and start whispering in your ear like terrible shit or something. Like he says that he's trying to calm people down, but they always get aggressively mad at him. Frankie will scream and usually be hammered drunk by like blackout before halftime. And then he'll be yelling at people. And I just get mad at the team. And then when people are like smiling, like having a good time, that's when I get violently mad. Like, what are you having fun about? Why did you come here if you think this is like a good time? Why is this a good time to you to watch your team lose at home? Like, I'm trying to treat it like a business. You know what I mean? Everything to me, it's also, it means more to me, damn it. Do you remember that the WWF fucking, that old thing where the guy was looking at like the wrestlers and he was trying to get autographs and they let him get the mic from the stand, from the stands. And he was like, it's still real to me, damn it. It means more to me. And that's what it's like. That's what it's like when I'm out there, that I feel like I'm the biggest fan. And if anybody's having a good time and like not watching the game or is leaving the game early, I feel like it's my duty to bring them back to reality. And the family of four that has their own chance and left early needed to hear from the leader of the real 204, which is me. There's only one real 204. First of all, they're not even really 204. They're fucking split in between.
They're 204 and three quarters.
Yeah, not even. They're less. They're 203 and three quarters, if anything.
I didn't get along with my dad because, like, so someone will make a catch, you know, they'll break a tackle, they'll run, they'll get like 8 more yards, and then someone else will tackle him. And he's like, would you fucking break a tackle, goddammit? Like, on the play, the guy already broke a tackle.
How hard is it to break a tackle? Good enough. That was,
just never keep your feet.
Yeah. Greg Bedard has
keep your feet.
Greg Bedard has many boneheaded tweets, but he had a great tweet. During the Patriots Falcons Super Bowl, he said to James White, like, got tackled in the first half. And, of course, James White went on to have a legendary game, breaking millions of tackles, making a million catches, scoring a million points. And he was like, ah, James White, always a shoestring tackle away. And it was like basically saying he could never, never break a tackle. And he had the biggest game of his life that game. Fucking, he does. He foreshadows himself into morondom more than anybody ever did. The Gronkowski tweet is infamous. Like, that's the biggest. That's like the biggest freezing cold take of all time.
Best of all time, yeah.
So I love that. So other than the boneheaded plays Mack made and Nelson made,
the offense
fucking
good.
Slung. They slung this week. They slung.
Hashtag
slang it. What's that? Mack might have thrown for his most yards. He threw for like 370. What was it? 321. Yeah. We're losing Tyler's mic.
I also would like to talk about Dietrich Wise has turned into just an elite player.
I don't know why he's all of a sudden Reggie White. I don't understand where that came from. I'm getting major steroids vibes. You don't just in year five become elite pass rusher.
Well, he and I both are on SARMs, and we're both displaying the same type of athleticism. Well, you know, DeAndre Hopkins was on the same SARM I was. That's why he got suspended.
Yeah. So, what week are you on now in your cycle?
I'm about to jump off of it. It's my last week. Praise God.
Week five?
Eight.
Eight. Oh, my goodness. So, how many milligrams was it?
I did 15 of one and 20 of the other. So, a lot. Enough to hurt my liver.
Yeah. So, your testosterone is, like, basically gone.
I don't know. Because the one I was on helped it. The other hurt it. I feel strong. I'm stronger, but now I'm riding the Peloton. Kids in shredding season.
Well, shred mode. I didn't know it was shredding season. I didn't know it was cutting season in the fall.
Well, it's time to cut. So I'm going to cut until I come up there. And then when I get back.
And then we're going back to bulking season.
That's right.
So I'm concerned once you stop the SARM after week eight, I'm interested to see what your testosterone level is. You should go get a blood test.
I don't want to.
No, you're too nervous. They say your testosterone comes back naturally, like not with like with anabolic steroids. You need to take stuff afterwards. Not that I would know, but I've done my research. So they say you don't really need it with these SARMs, but it's probably needed if you won't go that long.
I'm 26. I'm not 40 like you, big guy.
Aaron Judge just hit his 61st home run.
What are we putting up on the bench?
Breaking news.
Do what?
What are we putting up on the bench?
What does that mean?
How much are you benching?
Oh, what am I putting up on the bench? I'm not a big bencher. My arms are too long. I can do three plates, but I haven't maxed out in
three plates. Is that two? That's 305.
315.
315. Yeah, 405.
You bench 315.
Yeah, but the deadlift is where I saw the most gains.
315 is good for a man of your. You're not a big guy. I mean, you're tall. 315 is good. A lot for you. I was like, I'm short, stubby, barrel chested, like old school, fucking cartoon muscle man, like. You know what I mean? Where, like, the pants are all the way up to his nipples and just handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
That's, like, my chest thing. So, yeah. I mean, that's good for you.
Well, all my friends are, like, they're all built like that. They're all strong as – they're, like, cock strong. I can't squat a lot. Like, my bench and my squat, I can bench – I can squat, obviously, more. But I can – my deadlift is where I saw the most gains. I went from, like, low fours to over five.
Oh, damn. So, I used – that was my big thing in the day was trying to get 2,000 pounds out of the three. So I was like, for a long time, my chest was like, I could bench like 405 for reps for like multiple years. And then
this is the gayest podcast we've ever
had. Well, it's a gay.
Well, all of this, what we're doing.
Tony's got a mustache.
I got a muscle. I'm taking instead of SARMs, I'm taking prep. I'm just.
We need to know what max numb. What do you think max numbies are?
He's fucking. There's no way he benches the bar. I don't think he benches the bar. I don't know. Mac, does he look muscular? He looks better than he did last year, where he was very. He was 100% noodle last year. He was just like just a slug, just like a slug that could had a good brain.
Off-season CrossFit for sure.
Yeah, I need to see him shirtless again to get a real good vibe of him because he always looks skinny. He's like one of those southern skinny fat guys that was like always skinny growing up and then like ate too much in college but got fat only in his stomach. You know what I mean? But still wears a size medium shirt. You know, we all know people like that because like they never have muscles or are fat, so they just look the same. Their waist doesn't grow, just their stomach.
I will say I was very upset with him in the Discord, but then I went and rewatched a lot of it, and he was all. I mean, the interceptions were the one in the end zone. People were like trying to defend it, and I'm like, "There's nothing to defend here. That was bad."
No, yeah, they fucked that up, and then they were trying to blame Devontae Parker, but I was like, even if he was there, I mean, Humphrey was there before anyone.
At that point, the game wasn't. Couldn't we kick the field goal, and go up by one?
We were down by two. Yeah, we were down by two.
Yeah, so he could have thrown that away.
He could have just thrown it away.
Or we could have.
Yeah, but I think he yelled on the sideline. They were reading his lips that said "fucking cover four, fuck," and he threw his tablet or his helmet, whatever.
He threw his helmet, but I do need a tablet throw. I need one.
I like his fire. He's got a good fire. That was the first time I saw him get fired up on the sidelines. I need it. I need Mac to be fired. I need him to be Brady breaking fucking tablets. I need him to be doing left and right.
You know what's going to stink is when I come up for two games and I have to watch Bailey Zappi and Brian Hoyer.
No, you won't. Dude, if you listen to the Belichick press conference today, and I first of all, yesterday or Monday, they had Mac Jones doing press conferences. If he was out, like IR out, it would have already been announced. It would have already been, he would have already been on IR getting treatment. I think that fucking Mac Jones thinks he's going to play, like, soon.
I mean,
if not this week, soon.
If he does that, I think Pat's money line is a lock. I think they're winning. If he plays, we're going to get Mac revenge and the Pat's going like a 7-game bender.
Yeah. I mean, really, I wanted them to go 2-2 the first four games. Going 1-3 is going to hurt and not having Mac. I mean, I know the high ankle sprain is brutal because that could be like 8 weeks. At the longest, 4 to 8 weeks, somewhere in that range is where you're going to like realistically be. And their bye's like 7 weeks away. I don't know, man. It fucking, it's like the easiest part of their schedule is after Green Bay till the bye.
Yep.
And if we have to endure Brian Hoyer, they have to get to 5-5 by that bye or they're fucking toast. There's no hope.
I mean,
because the end of their schedule is brutal.
If Matt can walk, I'm in. If he can move around at all, you pump him full of cortisone, give the kid some antibiotics, give him some anti-inflammatories, and let the kid sling the pill.
Yeah, but
they need to win this week, and this is a winnable game.
I don't know if it's winnable. I really don't. Without Mac Jones, I get it that fucking Hoyer understands the offense, but what is his ceiling really as a 37-year-old accountant? His ceiling is like dump offs. That's why you have to feed fucking Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry and running backs this week.
We might rush for 220 yards this week.
Yeah, so the Patriots have the number one running offense per the DVOA, whatever that means. And then the Packers have the worst running defense.
But the
game plan.
The problem is if Brian Hoyer is playing quarterback, it's just gonna be eight in the box the whole game.
That's not necessary.
Which is
he
fine
can throw.
At that point, Hoyer can make a couple plays on
Hoyer's not fucking Sam Darnold. I mean, he's been in the league fucking 15 years. He's played. He won games in Cleveland. He won games in Houston. He's a usable backup. He's a lot older, but he can still throw the ball. We're not going to ask him to throw fucking 75-yard fade routes to Devontae. He's going to be throwing fucking over the middle, hitting Bourne, you know, the easy targets, the guys that are open. The checkdowns, everything like that, just getting first downs. If he can just game manage and they can run the ball, they can win games.
There's definitely a chance they can win this. They're going to be in this game.
Yeah, they're 10.5 point underdogs. I mean, Green Bay just beat Tampa on the road. They blew out Chicago, right? They lost to Minnesota. Their offense isn't blowing doors off anyone. They don't have a great offense.
They scored 14 last week. They scored 7 in week 1 against the Vikings. You know, like they scored a little against the Bears. Like they're not incredible.
Now, they'll be at home. The Patriots defense will be ready because I didn't think the Patriots defense was fucking very good last week. I mean, the secondary was fine. They just again cannot control fucking the linebackers. Just don't know what they're doing when they play Lamar Jackson. I don't care who the fuck it is.
Yeah, and Lamar was just too good. Every single time they needed to play, it was Lamar. Lamar made every single play in that game.
And like I said, I was so drunk. I couldn't even remember. I was like, wow, they're really containing Lamar. Then I looked at the fucking stats after he had like 180 yards rushing. I don't know what happened, where I missed all these plays.
He had like a 38-yard run, like a 32-yard run.
That many. He threw for what, like two something?
220, yeah.
220, yeah. So but, I knew that we weren't throwing all over him, and I didn't think that they were running a lot. I know that Lamar had a couple good runs late, but in the first half, they were containing him well. And then he was, like, going up the fucking middle, and the linebackers were just fucking nowhere. Mac Wilson, the guys that you got, you know, the guys that you got for this exact scenario had no idea what the fuck was going on. Like,
every big run came off Mac Wilson's hip.
Yeah. And he's...
Every single big run was right past him.
Yeah. He's the guy that's supposed to be, like, you know, like your spy, basically. The guy that's supposed to be in the middle that can cover and run down quarterbacks that are fast. And he did not show that, I'll be honest. Raekwon McMillan didn't play. Duggar didn't play. Those are two big fucking speed, you know, open field tacklers. But you had Peppers in there.
You could feel Duggar's miss because, like, the big hits, like, he's physical. He makes a lot of third down plays, like,
would have been a lot better coverage on Mark Andrews, for one.
Yeah, Mark Andrews was just eating our lunch. That guy is just good at the sport.
Yeah, he
doesn't impress me.
He's not like an overpowering tight end like Gronk. He's more of a Kelce type guy, but he's like always open because Lamar Jackson is just running around crazy. So he's just like will find him. He'll be like lost in the backfield. You know what I mean? For like 80 yards, and then
I really didn't get impressed by anybody else on their offense. I mean, Andrews did have a good game. He had that nice catch over McCourty. That ball Lamar threw to the corner.
Yeah.
With the Duvernay or whatever. That ball was perfect.
That was sick. But then he lobbed that touchdown. Into the end zone, which was, could have very easily been intercepted.
Yeah, Mac threw like I saw it was like four turnover worthy plays in the game, and three of them were intercepted.
I mean,
oh, the pick six.
He should have thrown
piece. The pick six. Yeah,
Patrick Queen had a pick six, right
from 99-yard pick six. But
100%.
These are the growing pains. That's why you pick a guy in the first round. I mean, you're not gonna get Tom Brady out of the first round anymore. It just doesn't happen like that. Mahomes doesn't come out of the first round and is fucking winning Super Bowls year one. These guys sit for a year, or they stink for a year, or they're average for a year, and then they just keep getting better and build and build and build as their team gets better too. So, you know, like, who has been really great as a rookie? Last one I can really think of is, like, Russell Wilson was good as a rookie.
All right.
And he wasn't supposed to be good coming out of college. So you're fucking all of a sudden the pressure's off of him anyway, because he was supposed to be the backup. So he didn't really have much pressure coming out. I mean, when's the last? I mean, Mayfield, Darnold, bust.
Deshaun Watson was really good as a rookie.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
good
Lamar
for,
feels like he would have been good.
I think Lamar was good as a rookie, right? Yeah, Lamar might have been good as a rookie, but again,
like, we didn't talk about the ridiculous 2-point conversion when Ramondre flipped.
So somebody showed me that the other day, and I was like, oh, I forgot about this Mac magic. And then it didn't count. I thought it counted. Maybe I went and take a piss. No.
Boy, you really were in the bag.
I was in the bag. So they scored, and I was like, yeah, that was awesome, Mac magic. And I went and take a piss, and then I came back, and I had no idea that didn't count.
Yeah, it didn't. It was a Mahomes play. It was electric.
Why did they call it – why was it not – counted?
Because Ramondre was laying on the ground when he flipped.
Really?
It.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because then I saw it again. I was like, he's not down. And then no, I didn't see that. I thought that was a fucking magic baby. I loved it.
He
pitch back to Mac. He's coming in like a bull.
The man wasn't
You know what I love is that, like, I figured this out in college. Like, it took me a while, but it was like, you don't go out and just get like hammered immediately. You have to just, like, wait to get drunk at, like, maybe towards the end of the night, so maybe you could talk to a girl at some point instead of them just, like, looking at you like an idiot. That's what they're doing with Harris in this game. Harris got all his carries in the fourth quarter. Just completely fresh, just came in, and
holy
he looked
people.
Awesome.
Ramondre is so tough, and he can just run, and he'll get, like, an 18-yard run, just bully people. He's got the best, like, he's got really good, like, peripheral vision, because he can cut left to right on a dime, and he's at like 225. He's like Harris and a little bit of like Deion Lewis combined. You know what I mean? Like he got straight line power, and then he can also Don't get me wrong, he can't shift like Deion Lewis could, but he can juke fast, and like
he caught a ball, and someone came in, one of the safeties or cornerbacks came in and popped him. He bounced like 3 yards backwards,
and
then just kind of went in a little loop. Yep. He just gained speed and got the first down. He ran for like 12 yards.
You know Deion. Yep. I mean, Damian Harris knows that his Patriots career is over after the season. He has to. So that's got to be – and I don't know how these people think about that, because, like, that has to weigh in on your mind. Like, they drafted Ramondre Stevenson in the third round. Usually backup running backs don't really play their rookie year. Ramondre's basically almost as good as you, maybe a little bit not as good. You know, he's, like, on your on your trail, but then they went and drafted two other running backs this year, so it was like almost like definitely you're not going to be on the team next year.
Yeah, they kind of have identical stats through three games.
Yeah, they get like the almost the exact
same amount of yards. Like, yeah,
what do they do? What do they got right now? Like 150 a piece, about probably.
Yeah, like pretty much 30 to 35 carries, and yeah, like 150 a piece. But I like it. I like having two backs that are both really good.
You need it. What they need to start doing, they need to get the tight ends involved like ASAP. I don't know where, like, why was Hunter Henry like an 8-catch-a-game guy last year, and he just doesn't even, they don't even look at him now. Jonnu Smith is getting thrown the ball 3 or 4 times, and he's been open and making plays, and they're not throwing him the ball enough. I don't know what
it is. Well, it's like weird because Kendrick Bourne played 18 plays this week. He had 4 catches.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, he looked – every single time he's on the field, he makes a play. I don't know.
They're like they're prioritizing Lil Jordan Humphrey's odd size and blocking over Kendrick Bourne making plays. It's weird because every time Bourne's in, he makes a good play. Every single time.
He makes a good play.
Yeah, he's like, and he's a free agent. So there's like, he's been a really good receiver for this team for a year, and they're just going to basically force him to leave and get a contract somewhere else.
Hey, he's playing 18 plays a game.
And he's way too good for that. Like, you should not be playing behind Lil Jordan Humphrey, who doesn't do anything.
Well, especially with Jacoby not playing. Why is he only playing?
That should have been Bourne playing Jacoby's role. That was as simple as that. He should have never came off the field, ran Jacoby's routes the whole game.
I was about to say, he should have had 12 catches.
Minimum. 12 catches for 87 yards, maybe a touchdown, he breaks. It would have been a whole different game. I mean, look, they moved the ball in the air, but it was mostly like big plays to Parker. He averaged 31 yards a catch, Parker.
And, I mean, all of those, he was not wide open. He was making plays. That man is just – he's just a good – he's good.
Finally. I mean, after 2 weeks, I started to get nervous.
Well, it's because we weren't just throwing him Mac Muffins in the corner of the end zone. He could run across and
I think they figured out you can't throw him seam balls up the middle in double coverage. He has to come back to the balls, or he can be on the sideline making plays, you know, at the top of the route. He has to be able to jump and get it.
It happened last week too. I think Mac threw him a back shoulder last week. He didn't even really turn around. And this week, he made the play. So
yeah. So, I mean, they had good chemistry starting to fucking go. Kendrick Bourne and him have a great chemistry. Jacoby Myers and him have a good chemistry. Even Aguilar and him have a decent one. But, like, Lil Jordan Humphrey's never caught a ball from him. He didn't catch a ball from him all preseason. He might have thrown him one this year. I think he caught, like, maybe a third and 20. You know what I mean? Like, for 4 yards. But, like, the guy throwing him the ball was Zappy in the preseason. So let's not pretend like these people get obsessed with preseason heroes and all of a sudden think it's going to translate. The guy's been in the league for like 5 years. Drew Brees was his quarterback. I mean, did you ever hear about him doing anything? Let's not get fucking obsessed with some odd size. Belichick's calling him like a tight end wide receiver hybrid when he doesn't really do either. He's sure he's a hybrid in size only, but he can't catch. I've never seen him block particularly well.
We're handing him the ball every now and again.
I don't get it.
I mean, I don't get it when last year your top target was Hunter Henry and now he's just dead to you. That's just odd.
You don't spend $50 million on two tight ends and then decide to give him the ball, you know, three or four times a game and just use them to block, you know, for little Jordan Humphrey to get open. You know what I mean? They weren't signed to be blocking tight ends. They were supposed to be your playmakers. They were supposed to be your Gronkowski-Hernandez duo.
Every time they get the ball, they make a play. That's the weird part.
Yeah, I mean,
Johnny looked good running.
Johnny can make the play. He'll break tackles. He runs through people. He can run well. He also was blocking really well. Yeah, he was blocking like an animal. There was PFF had the other day, which I thought was crazy. It was like literally like 2 days ago, Monday. They were like, Johnny Smith is grading out as the Patriots' best offensive player this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not. That's a wrong. I mean, that. Yeah, I don't have a response to that.
You hate that statement, but it did in fact come out on Twitter.
Do we match up for next week
against Green Bay?
Fine. They have no receivers. Aaron Rodgers is really good, so he'll throw for 300 yards.
I've seen Aaron Rodgers throws to bums, and it's fine. Same way Tom Brady did. I mean, he can just throw to bums. If you are a professional wide receiver, he's going to make you a good receiver.
Yes,
how many guys he got paid? It's same thing as Brady. Fucking James Joneses of the world. All these guys that were just average receivers anywhere else were awesome in Green Bay.
Jordy Nelson was the best receiver ever, and then he got paid by Oakland, and I don't think he had another catch.
No, but I think that Jordy Nelson was a special case where he was like old and finished, and like even Green Bay was like, "Yeah, no, you're finished." Like, no, you know
he
what
died.
I mean?
No, he didn't actually die.
No, he's finished. Very. He was just finished. Coolio died, by the way. Breaking news here on the Malcolm Gull podcast. Bad news. Rest in peace and to Coolio with two of the biggest hits from when I was in sixth grade in the film Dangerous Minds and Gangsta's Paradise. You know, rest in peace.
I wasn't alive. What about your boy was returning? Your boy was returning punts and kicks.
Who, Marcus Jones?
Yeah.
I mean, that was nice to see. You get him on the field more. I like the two new cornerbacks. They're not playing a lot, but like they make plays when they're in. Marcus Jones, at a minimum, needs to be returning punts. And
he's number 13, right?
That's Jack Jones.
The,
is 13.
The white.
That's Jack 20, Jones.
25
oh,
is
Jack
Jones.
Yeah,
25 is Marcus Jones.
Mark.
He's the punt returner.
Jack
he's like,
Jones is my boy.
Yeah, Jack Jones. So he's the like one that's
water
like
buff.
He's like a he's got like an Asante Samuel to him a little bit, but he's a little bit he's got more dog in him. You know what I mean? He likes he's feisty. He's a feisty corner with sticky cover skills.
And he's probably not a bitch.
No, and he doesn't talk shit constantly.
If you're listening to
Asante. He's bald head. Bald headed fucking he was forehead bald, still growing out his dreads. Looked foolish for 13 years.
If Tony's talking bad about your hair, you got problems.
Yeah. At least I owned it. I owned that I was going bald. Shave your head. Stop growing out dreads. Everyone can tell you're bald. That's the worst thing to do is to grow
like,
hair. Like, you can't hide it. Like, with long hair as a white guy, you can kind of, like, scruff it in front of your forehead, you know what I mean, and kind of hide it. Dreads are so thick and, like, you know, they don't move. So, like, if you're bald and you have dreads and you have that forehead baldness, there's no hiding that. You look ridiculous.
This podcast has, like, 7 enemies. 5 of them are, like, beat reporters for the Patriots. And then it's, like, Asante Samuel.
Asante Samuel. Alex Guerrero or Tom Brady Sr. There's a lot. I got a lot of negativity towards a lot of people. Giselle. I mean, I got a Rolodex of people I dislike for no reason. Well,
I think I'm out on Tom Brady. I think I'm out on him.
I don't need that. We don't need that conversation. We've had it too many times. He should stop slinging merchandise. Like, that clothing brand stinks. Right away,
yeah,
that
I mean,
stinks.
We could talk about Arkansas because real quick, I got to get off my chest.
This is not what we're
I was
talking
nearly,
about. That had
I was
nothing
nearly,
to do with what I just said.
I was nearly kicked out of a casino because I was sitting there watching the game in a sports book with about 50 other people. And these bitches missed the field goal to win the game. And I stood up and yelled at the top of my lungs, "You stupid motherfucker." And I think I yelled, "I hope your family dies." And everybody turned and looked, and the manager had to come speak to me.
I don't think that I've ever seen a field goal hit the top of the upright before.
I mean, the thing was good from 70.
Yeah, but I've never seen it hit. It hit like on top of it, right?
It hit the top and bounced straight up and down. I was so upset.
The brutal L. And by the way, the Cuse is 4-0 right now. Gonna go steamroll Wagner College, which I think is like a North Shore Community College ripoff in New York. They're gonna steamroll them, be 5-0, and your boys are looking good.
Yeah, we got Bama.
America's team.
So it's like a bye week. We got Bama this week, it'll be an easy win, and then we'll get Mississippi State. We still control our own destiny, so that's the big news.
The guy from Barstool said that the Hogs were gonna lose 4 straight, and that's already one. He's got one. You got them. He's got what you got? Alabama this week, and then
Alabama,
what?
Mississippi State, BYU, and then Ole Miss. They'll be fine. Arkansas win 3 of the 4, and they'll lose to like BYU.
They'd be like Syracuse, where they'd beat like Clemson, and then next week lose to Temple. It would be stuff like that. That's always the way it goes.
Commercial break, and then we should talk about Patriots.
Yeah, sure. We'll do a quick commercial. Yeah, well, okay, so I don't know. I was impressed, I thought, with the defense. I didn't watch it entirely back. Like, you guys were all in on the All-22, which you got to give me that All-22 password because I can't figure it out for the life of me. The offense, I think, is okay.
Your Twitter will be – you'll be tweeting on, like, Tuesdays about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, good. That's what I like to do. I get stuff at work when the kids are going to bed. This is what I do. I break down film. I got a hashtag grind film, like Edwin Lizard. Edwin Lizard is hashtag grinding film right now at Patriots headquarters.
And doing the same thing. It's just Beverly Hills Housewives.
That's true. That was on.
Screaming at, yeah.
I was grinding Beverly Hills Housewives film earlier about Erica Jane. Give the earrings back, Erica. Give them back. You didn't earn those earrings.
No, you didn't earn those earrings.
Are you into the Housewives franchise?
I guess Beverly Hills is the hot one, but no, I'm not.
No,
honestly,
Salt Lake City starts this week. I'm telling you, boys, if there's one to get into, it's this week, this month's, or this year's Salt Lake City. It's gonna be epic. I think it starts tomorrow night.
They're gonna get mad about sharing their husbands and shit?
No, they don't do that. It's this lady. Her husband, I think, was a assistant coach, like. I don't know what coach he was, but he was an assistant coach at University of Utah football. And or BYU, one of the two. I think it's University of Utah. And she was like, I don't know, she did something. And, you know, she did sold online goods. But basically, she was caught by the FBI, came in and said that she was, like, stealing old people's money through scams. Like, everyone on Twitter and then on Instagram and on my email is going to tell me how wrong I am. But it's basically, like, she was tricking people into giving them, like, their bank account, like, scamming, like, Nigerian princes type shit. And
love that.
And she was, like, swore up and down she didn't do that. But this lady was so rich, and her husband was just, you know, a football coach, but he wasn't the head football coach. And, you know, she was like, I'm self-made. This is bullshit. This is bullshit. Denied it up and down. And then, like, in the off, like, season of the show, she admitted to it. So, like, the new season is going to be just her being basically admitted to it and going to jail and all the shit. It's going to be nuts.
It sounds like
something. She's going to be in jail?
So she's going to have to go to jail. I mean, she stole millions of dollars.
I mean, no, you don't. Brett Favre did the same
thing. Brett Favre's a piece of shit. He's going to go to jail, too.
Brett Favre is going to go to the pen.
Yeah, and he's definitely going to jail.
Unlimited dick pics.
What an idiot. I mean, if you're going to do anything, why are you stealing? You are very rich. Brett Favre is a very rich guy. Why do you need welfare money from the state of Mississippi to pay for a volleyball court?
For his daughter's guy. Yeah. For it, not to mention Mississippi's by far like the poorest state on earth. Like they're gonna notice that money is missing.
Yeah, but the governor was like, "Yeah, dude, Brett Favre wants it. We gotta give it to him."
Oh BS. That's
But yeah, that's number four. If you don't think I'm gonna give that money to number four, you're goddamn wrong. Mississippi's greatest export has always been Brett Favre, and now they've just ruined it.
Brett Favre. Catfish.
He fucking ruined his entire legacy. I mean, everyone was cool with the dick pics. I think everyone except for the girl that received the dick pics was cool with the dick pics. I mean, you saw her and everyone was like, yeah, I kind of get it. Like, it's hard to start with that. Like, you don't open up with it, especially if you're the starting quarterback of the Jets.
Rex Ryan was a dick pic guy, right?
No, he liked feet. He liked, feet. The weirdo. But it was only his wife's feet, which made it even weirder.
That's odd.
Don't you remember he had, like, that weird video come out of him, like, filming his wife's feet outside of her car door.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah, outside of the car door. I was going to say, it had something to do with the car. I was younger.
He even joked about it, like, how much he likes feet recently, like, on ESPN.
Which is fine.
It is what it is.
I mean, it's not weird because it's your wife, but the video is weird, but I don't think that's meant for anybody else to see. The only thing that was weird about Rex Ryan is they had a Mark Sanchez tattoo.
Oh, wow.
Brett Favre, I mean, that was the original FSU cowgirl. I mean, you pay her some respect.
You know what's going on at this house? We're into Jerseycation.
They're down
in San Diego, Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah, of course. Now. Everyone likes that. I mean, I haven't missed an episode. I've watched it every single one. The show stinks now, and I've watched every single episode since it started in 2009. I swore up and down. I was like, I'm not going to do this. Me and my wife had just started dating. That's how fucking long ago that show's been on. So we just started dating. That's what we first started watching. And then we haven't missed an episode, and it stinks. It used to be great because they were shit-faced and fighting, and Snooki was getting punched in the face at bars. I mean, outrageous show. And now it's just like, hey, let's go on family vacation. And it's like fucking one of them drinks, and they go to, like, dinner. And
we all team up on Angelina.
They make fun of Angelina, and then she gets divorced. And it's like adult drama, like people are having babies and that's it. And it's nothing fun about anything. They're like, look at our giant mansion. Let's go to your giant mansion. Have a baby shower.
Every single conversation is produced. They're like, all right, let's sit down here. And this guy's waiting to. Yeah, it sucks.
Oh, Dr. Drew's here. I know. I mean, I used to like the good people are gone, like Ronnie and Sammy when they were dating on the shore house, and he would just tear apart the house over some minor disagreement. He would shred shit and throw all their stuff on the deck. I mean, it was a great show back in the day. Snooki would just be banging everybody on the show, like everyone in New Jersey. I mean, it was a whole different style. Now they all have kids and are old like me.
Yeah, that sounds. I must sit this one out.
Yeah, I don't know. This thing has just gone off kilter again.
All right, Packers.
I don't know. I mean, do you know much about the Packers? Do you know you got Aaron Rodgers? You got Romeo Doubs, who I know that. Oh, I'm gonna sneeze.
Phew. Bless you.
Oh, God bless me. Thank you. So anyway, I know they got Romeo Doubs, who was a big Towery guy. Towery was big into him for the Patriots this year. And I think he made a lot of plays last week. Other than that, who do they have? Randall Cobb, Tunyon. I don't know.
They got Aaron Jones.
He's hurt. J.R. Alexander's hurt, right? He might not play this week.
Well, they have that Corey Watson kid. He's a rookie. He's on my fantasy. Right. The only reason I know who he is on my fantasy team.
Has he done anything, though?
Yeah, he dropped the touchdown.
He's the kid from North Dakota State.
Yep, he's big. He looks like he should be. He looks like N'Keal Harry, light skin. Not near as black.
No, that's absolutely not information anybody needed. Again.
I just don't think their defense is going to be great. I think we're going to be able to run the ball on them.
Yeah, I think they're very poor against the run. I don't know any linebackers that they have. I know they got that. They had that kid from Michigan.
They got Jair Alexander. He's good. He's a cornerback, but they're
a corner. They have two good corners. It's Stokes, right? Jair Alexander. And then I don't know their safeties, linebackers.
Their first round pick this year was a linebacker, Quay Walker.
Know that guy,
probably Georgia.
Yeah,
he's probably, I'm gonna be honest, he's probably pretty good. He came from down here,
yeah, but everybody, we may invent a football down here, baby. You ain't gonna be able to do it. Listen, the North Shore is taking over the football world this year.
I wouldn't hate Lynn Bowden getting some reps. Speaking of the North Shore,
when Jacoby Myers went down last week, I was, I don't know the rules, but I was all ready for Lynn Bowden to be called up.
I mean, I'm all in on him getting called up tomorrow. His Instagram stories used to be fun when I had that. I'm in on the guy. He played quarterback.
I have a few issues with face tattoos, if we're going to be honest. Straight off, I mean, if you're going to come into the NFL and you're going to have face tattoos, I mean, you got to ball out. You can't be a practice squatter.
You'd be the fastest guy ever. Yeah. Only fast guys can have face tattoos.
Well, he is. I will
or
say
you could be a rapper, or you could Nick Carter, or whatever his brother's name, Aaron Carter. I mean, face tattoos, those just became all the rage here, like, in the last, 10 years? Like, Lil Wayne was like, I got a face tattoo. I remember, I think in college,
Tony's on his front.
The college, like, the game got a face tattoo, and everyone was like, this guy has lost his mind. And now, like, if you don't have a face tattoo, I don't think you have any street cred.
You're on your stoop right now, yelling at the kids.
Yeah, I am. I'm yelling at the clouds, once again. But yeah, it's just, I just remember these things. I'm getting old in my old age. I'm going to start yelling at people for their face tattoos. What's next? What else can you possibly tattoo?
There's a ton of shit.
I don't know. I think we run the ball. I think we keep this game close. And
I just don't see a way that.
I think it's going to be a 3-point game. Granted, I think they're going to lose 20 to 17, but I think it's going
to
be a 3-point.
20 to 17. Unbelievable.
Cute way to sneak in your pick there before time was up.
Yeah,
that's cute.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't know yet. So I'm gonna have two here. If Matt comes out and plays just against all odds and shoves it down the media's throat, just comes out there and plays, I think the Patriots win by 21.
Okay, I love that.
And I think there's no doubt. I think it's pretty guaranteed that it's 35-14. But if Brian Hoyer plays, I think it's 27-7.
Oh, you think we get killed?
I think we get dismantled.
I don't see a way. I don't know. I know we have new corners, but we have young, inexperienced. By the way, before I even get into that, how good is John Jones playing this year? As an outside cornerback.
I don't get it. He's never played that position, but he's good at it. So I'm in.
He's
on that.
The highest rated cornerback in the league right now.
Yeah, which is insane.
By JC, like, they knew John Jones is right behind him. JC is great.
JC had the blackest injury of all time. So,
Jesus Christ, I didn't bring that up, but that was he had an extra bone in his ankle, which is like has always been the joke. And I tweeted about it, and I was like, I'm gonna get kicked off Twitter, and possibly the podcast will get absolutely demonetized if I start talking about this. But Jimmy the Greek immediately popped in my head. He just had an extra bone in his ankle that they just took out.
You got under a minute to give your prediction there.
All right.
Baldy.
I mean, honestly, I think that they got too young of a defense on the outside in that safety. I mean, McCourty will help them, but what else is there really? I mean, you got Jabril Peppers. Hopefully Duggar plays. It's just you got to contain Aaron Rodgers, but he's going to make plays, and I don't think that they have the firepower to even keep up with Mac Jones. unless they run the ball and control the ball. I think that it's a 10-point spread with Hoyer, so I think it's a – we'll see. But I think it's going to be like 28-12. They'll score like, I don't know, maybe one touch. Maybe 28-13.
First time in history, back-to-back, we all picked Patriots losses. That's not good.
Yeah, you guys are leaving. I'll see you.
I have no quarterback.
Go Pats.
Yeah, well, they're just bumped off, and that's fine. This podcast has been dedicated to Coolio, who just passed away today, and literally as I was doing this podcast. And what a sad moment for all of us, all of us boomers in our mid-30s who remember Gangster's Paradise and, you know, Dangerous Minds and Michelle Pfeiffer. You know, God rest his soul. So anyway, you know, Patriots, I really think Mac Jones is I don't know. I think he's got that a little bit of dog in him. He's got that, you know, where Brady was trying to play through his ACL tear. Like, I think that Mac Jones has got probably not able to walk on his ankle, and he's taking seven-step drops. I think he's hopping seven-step drops in the locker room is what I think he's doing. And I think he's trying to play through it. I mean, like I said, if he was going to be on IR, he'd be on IR already. And he would be just getting surgery or whatever, this new tightrope surgery that they invented in Alabama, which basically gets you back from a high ankle sprain in like 3-4 weeks. I mean, that would have already happened or would happen this week. You know what I mean? It hasn't happened yet. He's taking calls. He's on WEEI. I mean, it's stuff that they don't do with injured players that are really injured. I mean, just even the words that Belichick was using today, the day-to-day, and saying, you know, I don't think Mac's going to practice today, but we'll see how he goes. It's been a good 24, 48 hours. Those aren't things you say just to fuck with the media. Those are things because Mac is has progressed way better than before, which also harks back to, why are you screaming coming off the field, babe? Why are you screaming coming off the field if 24 hours later you're on press conferences? I'll tell you a story. Thursday, we were... my wife was going out for her eyebrows again because Saturday was her birthday. And me and my son, who's 7, he likes to wrestle, but my dog has been a bit of a dick and he was like chewing on my couch cushions. So we took him out, got him out of there. So it's just the couch and then the bare back of the couch, which is basically the frame. And this has nothing to do with anything, but it harks back to the Mac Jones injury. And my kid is 7. So he gets on the table and he goes, "Daddy, super punch." And that's a thing we do where I wind up and I pretend to punch him as hard as I can in the stomach and I carry him over and I slam him on the couch. So I did that. I wind up 5 times. So I put my fist into his stomach and I hold him up with just my fist. And I bring him over to the couch and I tip him over as I'm going to give him like a power bomb on the couch. And he wiggles off my fist because I wasn't holding him by my palm. It was literally my fist. And he slams down on the couch like we've done a million times. But remember, no back cushions. So I hear thud like this. Like that. It's hot. I was like, oh no. So he hit the railing and then he hit part of the frame. And I know, this is a problem. So I say, oh boy, wait for it. I wait about 3 seconds. And then he starts to cry. I'm like, shit. And I pick him up. And remember, I'm all by myself. 3 kids, a dog, nighttime, wife's out, finally has a moment to herself. And she's probably been gone 30 minutes. I get up. I start rubbing the back of his head. He's crying. He's mad. I get it. I'm like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. And I take my hand off his head, pool of blood in my hand, pool of blood. And I said, oh, fucking no. So I look in his hair. This gash was 3 inches wide, probably an eighth inch wide. And I'm like, I can't believe it. I busted his head so bad that he needed stitches. So I brought him. I had to call my wife back to come home after she's trying to have some time for herself. Call her back probably within the hour. She comes back. I have to drive him to the hospital. He gets staples in the back of his head with no Novocaine. They go, it's just going to be so fast, it's not even worth it. It will hurt worse to do the Novocaine. So you get cling, click, cling. The kid's 7, didn't make a peep. And Mac Jones was screaming coming off the field. Anyway, make of that what you will. But just saying. Saugus is a special brand of toughness. It's a whole different story. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. Remember, follow us at Brady Disciple, at Malcolm Go Pod. I mean, I know KP's got a private Twitter where he sells gay porn for money. And Tyler, he tweets, but it's mostly MAGA stuff or super MAGA stuff. So it's like a lot of that, a lot of anti-vaxxer, a lot of pro-Russia propaganda. He's really into, the invasion of Ukraine. So if you get into him with that, maybe you can strike up a conversation. I think it's Tyler's is Twitter. And of course, MalcolmGoPodcast@gmail.com. And the Discord, discord.com/MalcolmGoPodcast. And join the Patreon, patreon.com/MalcolmGoPodcast, and help us pay our bills. As you've noticed, the gas is higher. And, I can't pay for it. So anyway, go Pat, let's go.
Do your job! All right, don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job. 7-8 months ago, right? All from this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game, your honor. Your kids are honored. Your family's honored.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler stepping
up. Warner goes back to throw, and here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The back is snap ball down, kick up, kick is on the way, and it is good!
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team
in the league! Hey! Did it!
I love you, man.
Did it, bro. I love you. I love you. You worked your ass off.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.